Good morning.
Good morning.
Greetings in Jesus' name. Indeed, it is good to be here, and I'm thankful for the many things that were already shared here from the opening remarks, the songs, just also appropriate to things that we need to be thinking about, things that we need to be learning. And thank you, Chad, for those thoughts on why we don't do some things. I'm planning to share some things here that responsibilities and things that we should be doing, but it's good to know when we're faced with some false teachings about why we don't do certain things. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together here. Thank you, Father, for your word and for giving us a reason to rejoice, a reason to sing, a reason to live, a reason to fellowship together. And we thank you for it. Just thank you for Jesus. And pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts as we look into your word. Help us, Lord, to take seriously those things that you have asked us to do and to walk circumspectly and according to your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I'd like to look at some of the responsibilities of Christians, specifically certain groups of Christians. And so the title that I would like to give is Direction for Older Men and Women. At some point in time, we'll look at the direction for younger men and women and children. We all have things that we should be doing. I've asked Zach and Kenneth if they would hand out some papers there. And this is just a little outline of things that we're going to be looking at. I'll go into each one a little bit longer. There's enough papers there, I think, if some people can share. I didn't make enough copies for everybody, but I believe we can share them. This is pretty much so you can follow along a little and also so you can take them along and be reminded of some things that we are supposed to be doing. We all have responsibilities before the Lord. Now, before we go into that responsibilities that listed there, I'd like to just remind us of Matthew 22, verse 37 says, "And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If we don't have a right relationship with the Lord, we may as well forget all this other stuff we're looking at. We can play games, we can do whatever we want to do. But most importantly is a right relationship with the Lord. I just want to be sure that we understand this. So my encouragement is to first and foremost get right with the Lord. You must know about your relationship with the Lord. There's a lot of people walking around thinking, well, I think I'm saved. I said this or I did that. We have to know where we're at with the Lord. It's not something that you want to take a chance on. If you have a bad relationship in your life or bad relationships in your life, a continual struggle with sin, or you're not happy with life, you probably need to be working on your relationship with the Lord. Because until a relationship is right with the Lord, you can do all kinds of other things, but things just will not fall into place. Things will just not work out. They might look all right on the outside. We might be able to dress ourselves up. But unless we have a personal right relationship with the Lord, we really can't make progress on other areas in our life. So on to the next area here. When we get older, we do not automatically turn into nice people. We must first be aware of what God wants us to be and then seek Him through our life to become the kind of people that God wants us to be. Godly, pleasant, kind, older people are that way because they developed those virtues when they were younger, or if they came to know the Lord when they're older, they're spending an awful lot of time with Jesus. I feel a bit unprepared in the sense, I thought of a little bit like, you know, when parents become parents, they have their first child and they feel like, oh, how do I do this? Well, I feel a little that way in the sense that, you know, I read through all these things and how do we learn to be old? And I am thankful for the encouragement that we have in the Word. And I know I have so much more to learn. It's not like I'm up here feeling like I got it all together. I make my mistakes. We as parents make mistakes. We all make mistakes, but we keep going back to the Lord. We keep going back to His Word and desiring to do what He would have us to do. So just a word for the younger ones here today. You got to be listening too, because if you live to be 80 and older, you're going to fall in the older category. And let's not wait until we're older to figure out how we should be handling life or what we should be doing. I'd like us to open our Bibles to Titus chapter 2 as a starting reference point here. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now there's an awful lot there in the rest of this chapter. At the end it says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. Now it's easy to read over that because it's what we grew up in. It's because we grew up saying, these are the things that we are supposed to be doing. But to take the time and to consider them and to think about what they really mean is very important. And I just would like to take some time and go through some of that this morning. Not just for your sakes, but for mine also. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Here is some sound doctrine. Chad was talking about some things that were shared earlier that were not sound doctrine in the sense that what people were promoting. So here is some things that sound doctrine, and you guessed it, the world doesn't get it. They don't understand this. We do the things that we do, and if you don't have to look very far out there into the world. You can go to a store. All you have to do is just open the front page of the paper, and it's very obvious that none of this comes into play. But they really don't get it. They really don't care. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So Titus is to teach older men about 6 qualities of good character. The first one, and you have them on your paper there, older men are to be sober, sober-minded. A sober-minded person is calm and balanced. He avoids extravagance and overindulgence. He has a balanced judgment, the ability to discern between what is important and what is trivial. We should expect older men to be balanced, reserved, and disciplined. Older men are careful to avoid extravagance, overindulgence, and senseless statements. I had to think of Peter in relation to that. You know, when when Peter was with Jesus and younger in the faith, he was really on fire. It was, let's go. And he would make statements that maybe weren't completely wrong, but he would like get ahead of himself and get ahead of Jesus and just really quick responses. As he got older, he became a rock. And that is where we need to be as older men. Number two, older men are to be grave. The word grave means to have an intense conviction about the seriousness of life. A grave person avoids the attitude which implies that life is just a big game. I was reminded when I was younger, I may have mentioned this before, but there was one person that I heard say in the fellowship about the younger people, just let them be younger people. They only go through life once. And there was an element about that that did not sound right. We need to take life seriously, especially the older men. To be grave does not mean that you must be stern or gloomy, but the older Christian man lives in light of eternity. We remember what we're here for. We remember, and believe me, the older you get, the more you realize how short life really is. That we have to be a light for eternity. What we're doing is not about self, but it's about eternity. And that's where big difference between older men that are walking close to the Lord than older men that are in the world. In all of that, we have to remember, we're not storing up treasures here in earth. We're storing up treasures in heaven. We don't go about what we're doing, and this is another difference between us and the world, to retire so we can travel, so we can play golf, so we can live the last years of our life in ease. And you hear it out there, but that's not what we're here for. And we got to remember that. The third thing I'd like to look at is older men are to be temperate, self-controlled, moderate as to opinion or passion. Temperance is the ability to say no to harmful things such as the use of tobacco, the taking of human life, the squandering of time, the wrong use of the tongue. Temperance is the determination to say yes to good things like spending time with one's children or grandchildren, providing a good home for one's marriage partner, and showing kindness to those who are objects of ridicule. He deliberately avoids practices that are unwise, such as overeating, overspending, overindulging in anything, even in sleep. There was some time ago, there was a TV advertisement about a little boy who had this bag of potato chips. And he says to an adult sports hero, I bet you can't eat just one. The adult sports hero says, of course I can eat just one. He's a highly disciplined athlete who has spent hundreds of hours in practice on the field. But the next thing the audience sees is an empty bag. The commercial sells a lot of potato chips, but it also is selling something less tasty, a philosophy that celebrates unrestrained self-indulgence. Our society is not a friend of temperate living. Our society pushes that you get what you want, no matter if you earned it or not. We've gone far past the truth of don't work, don't eat. We have so many people running around spending money that they don't have nor did not earn. They are told, you should get it because you deserve it. What do we really deserve? We, as Christians, understand we don't deserve anything. Only because of Jesus are we who we are. We are not here to see how much we can get, but how much we can give of our lives for the Lord. This truth is fast fading even in the churches. Number four, older men are to be sound in faith. The original Greek literally says the faith. The reference is not so much faith that trusts Christ for salvation as it is to the body of Christian truth, doctrinal truths. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. That's talked about there in Jude. Part of this is why it's so dangerous to have heretics spewing out heresy. Older men must stand for truth and not be easily deceived. Older men in the church must know what they believe. We must be men of conviction. Men who stand for something. Older men must not only trust God for salvation and their daily sustenance, but must also be acquainted with the basics of the Christian faith. We must know something about the greatness of God. The wonders of redemption through faith in Jesus Christ and the marvelous ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need men that are going to stand up and be men of faith. Number five, older men are to be sound in charity. One of the great dangers facing older persons is the tendency to criticize and to find fault. May I suggest this may come from a weak relationship with the Lord? Because we get ideas in our minds of things that we think is right or wrong. And some things may be right or wrong, but some things may not necessarily be right or wrong. And we have to be very careful how we handle these things. And when we have a close relationship with the Lord, so many things do not have to be a threat to us. Older men in the congregation are to be examples of charity and are not to be grumbling just because some things are different. We're talking about neutral matters, debatable things and personal preferences, but not about clear, basic doctrinal issues. We need to be strong on those. Number six, older men are to be sound in patience. The word translated patience refers to endurance, the art of bearing up and pressing on, even though everything seems to be going against us. And as we know in this world today, more and more things are going to be going against us. Patience is the persistence which bravely bears the trials and afflictions of life without losing heart and giving up. It means to hang in there because we know that God is in control. Perseverance, patience, is the ability to endure hardship, to accept disappointment, to respond graciously even when one is misunderstood and unappreciated. Even though you don't consider yourself to be an older man, it is not too late to start working on these things. I don't know if you gave it a thought. Many of these things are part of the fruit of the Spirit. So each one of us needs to be working on these things and growing in those areas. If you're an older man, and you do not have these qualities after many years of living with the Lord, we need to seriously consider, where is our relationship with the Lord? What are we living for? Are we living for self? Or are we living for the Lord? Just a little thought here. Who is an older person? Who's an older man? I'm so disappointed with what happens in society today, where it's encouraged that you try to stay as young as possible. We've lost the respect and earnestness of older men. We seem to get this idea that old is bad. And in this society today, the idea is out there that men are bad. Anything that God has set up, Satan is there to try to take down and destroy. Maybe partly because older people complain so much, and maybe partly because this society makes you think that you need to stay young. I tend to think that by the time that you're in your mid-40s, you're beginning to fall into the older category. This society tries to keep young men immature in so many ways. If you're in your 40 and you still need toys to keep yourself happy, you got a problem. As we get older and more our desire should be for what am I doing to serve the Lord and other people, not what am I doing to get ahead for myself. I'm so thankful for the Christian heritage and for our fellowship. We can trust the Lord, that the Lord will use brothers and sisters in the fellowship to help the elderly. The world has Social Security to look to. We have a whole lot more security than that. And I'm thankful for that. We can just go about doing the Lord's work. I'm counting on the Lord, and I'm counting on my brothers and sisters here. Because I'm probably, this morning, one of the ones that's in the older categories. Life expectancy is longer now than it was 100 years ago. But that's not the reason to be planning for self-indulgence. I don't know if I overlooked it or if I have it later here. Somewhere I had looked up. You know, it was, maybe it's on here somewhere later, but I looked it up, and 100 years ago, it's hard to believe, but life expectancy for men was right around 45, 50 years old. Things are changing. But we should not change. We should still be trusting the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're 50 or if you're 60 or 70 or 80. We are looking to the Lord and we're looking to each other to grow in these areas. Too many young men feel like they have to still be playing with toys even into their mid-20s. By the time you're in your mid-20s, and even before, you should be living and acting like a man, not like the world wants you to do. You should be preparing for marriage, or at least spending most of your time going about the Lord's work. Another time, we'll get into more of the responsibilities of young men, young women, and children. But this time we're just looking more so at older men and older women. Okay, on the back of those papers that you have is the responsibilities or counsel for older women. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Can you imagine that being read in our schools today, in our colleges? Wouldn't go over so well. But that's what God says. And that's why we are doing what we are doing today in our church, in our Anabaptist churches. So young people, pay attention to that. Because you're going to get out there, and the world's going to tell you a lot of other stuff. But remember, this is what God's word says. And this is what will count. This is good doctrine. When you look in the Word, there's a whole long list of respectable and trustworthy women named in the Bible. A few of those include Jochebed, Ruth, Naomi, the Shunammite woman, Elizabeth, several Marys, Martha, Dorcas, Lydia, Priscilla, Tryphosa, not sure if I pronounced that right, Lois, Eunice, and others. There are also a few in there, in the Word, that are the opposite. Remember Jezebel? Remember Potiphar's wife? Wicked women that were pretty powerful. So, number one, counsel for older women. They are to model behavior as holiness. There should be a sacredness about the conduct of older women in the church. No one in the congregation can be quite as influential as the godly older woman. Remember Timothy, for example, learned the scriptures from his mother and his grandmother. Our congregations today need the presence of older, saintly grandmothers who can be a real inspiration to the family circle and can add dignity to the testimony of the local church. Older women can do that, and they can do the opposite. I'm thankful for the older women that we have, not only in our fellowship here, but in amongst the churches that are standing up and doing what God would have them to do. Number two, older women are not to be false accusers. This is in reference to the dangers of unguarded speech. Older women must be careful about gossip, idle chatter, and talking too much. By the way, this admonition is really needed for all of us, but especially needful for older women with lots of time on their hands. Most of us have heard about jet planes that travel faster than sound. The story is told about two older women boarding a jet plane for the first ride. They heard about the planes that travel unusually fast, supersonic transport, planes that travel faster than sound. The door to the pilot's compartment was open as they boarded the plane. And one of the ladies said to the captain, "Now look here, young man, don't go faster than sound. We want to talk." I think the point there is that maybe there was a lot of things being said that shouldn't have been said. When a person talks too much, it's easy to engage in unnecessary talk about the affairs of others and maybe even talking too much about self and being self-centered. All of us must guard against wrong attitudes, uttering false charges and saying things that damage the reputation of others. Jeremiah speaks of those who smite with the tongue. That can happen over the telephone, across backyard fences, during visits in homes, or any time we have unguarded time on our hands. We're all familiar with James talks about the tongue, an awful lot there in James. Number three, older women must not be given to much wine. The later translations say older women must not be addicted to wine. Most of the water in Middle East was unsafe to drink, so people used a very diluted kind of wine as a common beverage. Such use of wine was not condemned in the New Testament, but addiction to alcohol beverages is clearly prohibited. We, as the Anabaptists, have taken a very, very, very strong stand on this, where we say, out of sight, do not touch, do not go there, is all wine drinks prohibited, or all wine drinks prohibited? I don't think they are. But the stand that we have taken has certainly helped to avoid the alcoholic side. And so I'm thankful for that. And I would encourage you, young men and ladies, that's not a bad road to go down. I can honestly say that I never drank any of that stuff in my life. Maybe there was some that was in something. I know they use some of that stuff for baking and things like that, but that's not what we're talking about. Number four, older women are to be teachers of good things. Here is a big responsibility. Last week I read, I don't know if you remember, when I moderated the meeting last week, I read a few verses out of 2 Chronicles there about Jehoshaphat, who sent out all those people to go and teach. Here, the older sisters are commanded to teach. The older sister is to be a teacher. She is to teach younger women those things that are necessary, wholesome and good, especially teaching in those areas that deal with the very heart of the home. I'm thankful for the small groups that are going on here at Beacon of Light, where older women have opportunity and responsibility to be teaching. That is a blessing, that's an encouragement, and I would encourage us to keep that going. This whole piece, I think, is really, really lost in the church. You have so many older women that are ready to go out there and do everything to save the world, to try to tell everybody else what to do. But this, I believe, gives an opportunity for an older woman to teach real stuff that's going to really make a difference. If you're an older woman and your children are raised and have established homes of their own, now is not the time for you to go travel the world and live it up. You are to be a mentor, a counselor, an instructor of younger women in the church. Note that Titus said here that Titus is to, or he was commanded to teach older men and older women, and the younger men and those who are servants. But he's not told to teach the younger women. That job is for the older sisters in the church. There's specifics here about some of the things that the older women are supposed to teach. Older women are to teach younger women to be sober-minded, that is, to be calm in spirit, ready to meet the circumstances of life with a keen sense of trust in God. Or, as in Psalms 112:7 says, she is not to be afraid of evil tidings, for her heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Older women are to teach younger women to love their husbands and their children. It should be natural for mothers to be loving their children and to be taking care of their children. But I understand in New Testament times there was much parental neglect. Does it sound any different than today? In this society, the mother's role has been majorly changed and accepted, and is not what God had in mind. It's no wonder homes are falling apart. I'm really thankful in our fellowship for all the mothers that have submitted and have chosen to be the keepers at home. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. God never said it's going to be easy. But I can tell you that the women that are out there in the world, their life isn't easy either. And nor is it fulfilling as being a mother at home. So I just want to encourage you, be faithful in that. And I'm thankful for our fellowship that has chosen to teach, and the mothers that have chosen to be the keepers at home, and for the men that have chosen to be men. Older women are to teach younger women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. The term discreet speaks of a sense of what is appropriate. It is a general word which means to be sensible and careful about what we do and how we say things. The word chaste means to guard one's moral purity. The young Christian woman is to keep her body for her own husband. This means she must show self-restraint in her manner of dress and many areas in her life. Older women to teach younger women to be good and keepers at home. The young Christian woman is to be a kind-hearted person, and she is to be a worker at home, a lover of home. She is to learn to be a good housekeeper, seeking to make the place, the home, a place of top priority. There's many of us, men and young men, and I know that as young men, we tend to take it for granted for these mothers that are staying home and taking care of so many areas in our life. And we cannot do that. We need to be thankful, we need to be grateful, and we must show appreciation to our mothers. Not just on Mother's Day, by the way. The highest goal for any young wife should be to make the home a place where order and godliness are clearly evident. So you, young men, young ladies, boys, children, any of you, don't forget to thank your mother for what she is doing. Older men and women in the congregation should have a wise maturity which comes from walking with God for many years. They should teach the younger by word and by example. This is how important Bible values are passed on from generation to generation. Something for us to keep in mind. We can teach, we can talk till we're blue in the face as older people, but if we don't walk it, if we don't live it, it won't stick in many instances. God can do a work in hearts, but we must be sure that we're walking the way God would have us to walk, and we'll then be teaching it. Again, I had mentioned this before, I believe these things only happen if we have a close walk with the Lord. A closer walk with the Lord is an answer to so many of our problems, regardless of whether you're young or you're old. To have a heart searching after the Lord, as spoke about in Psalms 119. I don't know how familiar you are with 119, but if you're not, I encourage you to go read it. It's a very, very long chapter. But how many times it's stating in there about seeking after the Lord with my whole heart and loving his laws and decrees. just an awful lot in there. Something that has been helpful to me, it's very easy for me to jump in the vehicle and turn that radio or CD or whatever it is, and it's not all wrong, but I purpose sometimes to go a month or two without touching that dial and leaving it off and taking that time to be in prayer and to listening to God's word. I understand that the people in the third world countries have a tremendous respect for those who are older. Part of the reason is they don't have many older people. And this is part of what I was looking at or talking about earlier. The lifespan in some parts of the world is still only about 45 and 50 years. We have a lot to be thankful for. We've got a lot of older people around. Maybe not a lot of them that could care what God thinks, but there's some that do. I believe that respect for older people in this country has greatly diminished over the last 100 years. Part of that is because there's a lot of older people have not lived godly lives and have not demanded or lived in a way that would want people to respect them. As we get older, we have a huge job to do. It's not time to give up. It's not time to go golfing in Florida or go to Hawaii or travel all over the world just to enjoy life. I'm not saying all those things are wrong, by the way, but I want to be careful. But there's way too much. The world's thought and idea is get old, get rich, and go spend your money and enjoy life. And that's what I'm saying cannot be our mindset. I appreciate a lot of the concepts and teachings of Mr. Ramsey, but there's a goal there that is not right. And that goal is to be a millionaire. And that's not our goal, or should not be our goal. Our goal should be, what can I do for Jesus today? How can I help someone today? There's a lot of younger people in this world that are missing out on opportunity because they're not looking to older people for counsel. They're going to college, they're going to places, and in many instances, those places are not interested in what God's word says. I'm not saying all, I'm saying many. We need to go against the tide in this country and live out the teaching and admonition that we read here in Titus 2. And by the way, you can get outside of Titus 2 and see some of these same teachings through the Word. I just happened to choose this chapter to talk about. So, may the Lord bless each of you as you continue to walk with the Lord, as you continue to grow with Him, and as you continue to grow old, and hopefully walk with the Lord so you can be the great example of an older person. Thank you.